The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lock Up Part of the OE Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. We're going to start things off trying to finish up the winter's activities, and we've talked to all the head coaches now. We're going down the ranks, and John Sherb's in the studio this morning and talking about JV girls basketball. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Yeah, so let's talk about your season and go through your roster, and I know that team really, really improved over the year.
Yeah, they have. We had started out with, what do we have for girls? We had, I think, probably with eight girls. We started out with one senior who came down and helped us for some minutes, just to give her some minutes, helping us for numbers. And we were, when you're incorporating, ninth graders through, one senior and some juniors, it's just that bonding. And plus also you incorporate five eighth graders that can play with us on some games. And the five eighth graders never practiced with us all season. So they got thrown into the wolves there a little bit. So you don't get that camaraderie of working together and reading off each other and reading the moves. So it's very, very difficult. Plus also, as eighth graders, you don't see the style of defense and offense as you would in eighth grade. So it's a whole different level, and I thought they did a really nice job that those five helped us and gave us some minutes off and on, helped us, and plus also the mix. So, yeah, we started out with a really, really rough opening week once we started practice. Well, practice was interesting because we had to re-educate some of the girls. We had some girls that made some moves, came out for basketball the first time, and understanding the philosophy, where it is, it's been, where the elbow is. We had one girl wasn't sure on, okay, is a layup worth two or one? I mean, a lot of just of basketball, and not good kids. I mean, I don't even question that at all, but just, again, understanding, hey, everything's worth two or three, the defense, the movement, the flow of the game was a lot of talking. Plus also, you couldn't say, it was tough saying things on a fly, saying, run, fade to the corner or something like that. They didn't quite understand that terminology. It's tough. So, I thought we mixed and matched. And like I said, the first week we played probably the three better teams to open the week off, and it was a long, tough week for us when we played, because we played Hancock, who was deeper and deep, and they basically went us after us and just shredded us really, really tough, and then turned around and played Minnewaska the next night and then played KMS the following. So we played three very quality teams that base and love to really get at you, and the scores were a lot to a little. But as we went through the season, we really grew, and that's the thing is we bounced back. We had our moments where we had some mental letdowns. We didn't look as focused. But it goes, so I'll introduce the girls here, what we had. Like I said, 9 through with the 8th, 5 8th graders, and then 9 through basically 12th. But even some of them, the 9th graders, we've been better off playing 9th grade basketball games just because of the style of the tempo. But you don't have that luxury, so you just got to play what you got, and I thought they handled it well. So Claire Gies, 9th grader for us, Brooklyn Olson, Brandy Meyer, and Jada Kessler were our two juniors, and also Zoe Doctor were our three juniors that played on there. And Zoe, last year, she's come around. She's been, as a ninth grader, came out for basketball the first time, so she's come a long ways to start giving us some minutes. And then Jada and Brandy are both first time out, and so that, those are new ones that fit in there. Then also Sadie Rosendahl, ninth grader, Andy Doctor, who was very nice to, it's tough to be a senior. You come down to add some minutes on JV because a lot of teams don't play varsity senior girls, but it gave her some minutes, and then she ended up starting seeing a little bit some minutes on the varsity just with our depth-wise, so that was kind of good for her, and she helped us along. Then we started getting those eighth graders along a bit more often, so she went back and just stayed up on varsity all the time, so we went with our next bunch. Casey Tweet, Aiden Bond, now we got our five eighth graders, Aiden Bond, Reese Kuzman, Eva Traeger, Sophie Hewitt, and Tegan Conroy. And those five, again, with me not seeing where they're at or what they have, it was very difficult. I think we got I think we had 9 girls total on the 8th grade level basketball. So that's – we started getting those numbers games can help us a lot. So that's what you can ask for and have them grow. And like I said, we really – you know, we had some ups and downs. The good thing is when we played teams a second time, we played a lot better. One way we understand the pressure. Because you know, KMS, we played them up there that first week. I think we were down 23-0 at half. When you have a team that's not as strong to shoot the ball from the outside, where we've got to get our shots within 10 feet of the basket, it's going to limit. And plus, with them pressing, we didn't understand the movement, the flow, where to be, and that made it very difficult. So, really struggled with those. We really struggled to put the ball in, and it got frustrating. For the girls really got frustrated. So you're down 23-0. It makes it tough. Then we played them a second time, and they had their same crew with them. We played the second time. We scored. I think we were only down 12 at half. I think we scored 10 points at half against them. So good things that we chipped away. We handled their pressure a little bit better. We saw the openings and actually saw our teammates for help. Because, again, a lot of them were unsure of pass the ball or we'd float the ball. So we had a lot of turnovers. Again, we had way more turnovers than we should have had and just making probably not the plays we could have made once we had more experience. If we'd taken them and did them earlier, it would have been a lot better. It's still, again, we still struggled putting the ball in the hole. We averaged probably about 20, 25 points a game. When you average 25, you got to play really good defense because your offense is going to struggle. And I thought we played better defense. We helped defense. I know it was kind of nice to see the girls last game against McCray to close the season with a win. Mm-hmm. We lost to them by 7 the first time. Just played very good defense. I think we ended up winning by 10, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
So it was a nice turnaround for them to grow and understand that. And that's all you can ask. And that's, as a coach, yes, you want to win every time you do, and winning is great, but developing the kids is more important than anything else, because at the B-squad level, it's the wins are nice, but again, what are you going to help these kids? Because again, Dylan's going to have these kids come up the system. They're going to have to help them next year because you lose, I can't remember, 3 seniors we lost. Four seniors we lost with Bell, who didn't play at all. But you got to replace them. And we're not a very deep bench anyways. So who are these kids on this level can give you varsity minutes? And that's going to be the curious thing, because you're going to have your 3 juniors that are going to have to play all varsity minutes. So now you came out of the rotation. Now you can take your numbers in the B squad. Now you're going to have these 9th graders and 8th graders are going to have to play some minutes on. And will they be ready? And that'll be the question. And hopefully we'll find some time to play some ball in the summer. Also be a kid too, which people forget is they're still kids. They got to be kids.
Yeah.
You want to develop some basketball in the summer. That's where your basketball players are developed in the summer, your skills you can hone. It's very, very tough to develop kids once the season starts. And that's where we struggled is when you're developing kids. It was how tough it was. We had times where we threw the ball in the wrong basket. I mean, that's just part of the mental game. And again, as a coach, you're disappointed, but you can't sit and chew them up because – the flow of the game just gets caught up in their mind and they forget where they're at and happens something easy. Oh, I must see our basket, and they got caught in that. And that's the development skill and a half. So, it was very – like I said, it's nice. I think we end up 5-17. We got 5 wins. I didn't know once we started that first week. I didn't know if we'd even be able to be close enough to get a win. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And we chipped away, and then we finally got a couple close wins and just kind of got over that hump. And I don't think we got our first win until the end of January. So if you look at the end of January with 1 month left of the season, we got 5 wins in the last month of the season. So you got to like the way the kids had grown and understanding that and just working together. Nice things, they didn't get down. That's the only thing I always questioned, as you're getting up there in age, are they developing, are they listening to understanding your terms? And that's always the toughest thing is as a coach that's been around for a while, you kind of want to make sure they're still understanding the game. So, like I said, it was a lot growing on their side and my side, and that's all you can ask.
And like we said at the very beginning, you look at them at day one, you look at them when the season's over, and if they've improved, they've done their job, and you've done your job as well.
And that's what you try to do, and that's the fun part. Like I said, you would love to go 19-1 or undefeated or 500. What you are and who you are, and you just got to develop to make yourself better. And that's what we try to do, and I think that's what our big goal was for the season, was to develop – and to get better, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, and talking to Dylan every week, he mentioned a number of times that you got pretty good numbers in the junior high, so that's the group he will be working with next year.
Yep, and that's, you know, that's what we're hoping anyways, you know, that they can keep moving on and sure. building, and you know, you don't want to throw them too big of a plate where they struggle with it. And I think these kids got to understand with these 5 8th graders that, you know, some of the 8th graders played a lot of minutes, some of them didn't play a lot of minutes, and just it's one, as a coach, you don't know what their ability is, and then also you got depth in front of you at that position, so you may not get that taste of it. So I think there's some athleticness in these 8th graders that help us. So, you know, and I do want to thank Dylan for, you know, allowing me to coach and run the things at the B squad level, and taking my ideas and using them, and also telling me that I'm full of crap and just move on with it. And that's always a good thing, because he has allowed me to coach. And then Thomas Daniels has also helped me at times when I know the one time I had to run tape an ankle, so he ran the B squad a little bit while I was taping an ankle. So, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to be allowed to coach with good young coaches. You know, keep an old dog like me around just to make them look better. That's the way it is.
Yeah, and you're one of those unique people that you coach three sports all the time. You've already started the next season. We'll have you introduce your team in a future program. But track and field is started this
yes.
past week.
So. Wow. Looking outside, it's nice to see a track and field starting with the weather we got.
Okay. Paul, you were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, weren't you coaching before Dylan was born?
Oh, now we're getting old. Jeez. Oh yes, I probably was. We won't.
And that's we'll go there. Okay.
When I look at class and I say something, I said, "Yeah, remember when this happened?" It's like, "Oh yeah, you guys weren't even born when I made that comment."
Are you in the generation thing yet, though?
As you mean by what, the generation?
You had their dad or mom?
Oh yes, oh, yes, yeah. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, man.
Yeah.
I don't get in that boat of, you know, when I had your father, when I had your mother in class, you know, I could tell stories about your parents, and there's always those. And of course, there's always, they get really red in the face when you think bring up that idea, or the parent will be doing, shh, don't say anything. I don't want. No. I'm in that generation, boy, and that's what my college coach always said to me. He goes, you know, you've been around for a while when you're recruiting your former athletes' kids, yep. and so that's why you've been around the system a lot. And I have been around for a while.
I know, in Driver Ed, I'm on third generation.
Oh, so you are.
I've had grandma and grandpa.
Grandpa and grandpa. Yeah.
So, awesome. All right, John.
That's kind of a good feeling, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool feeling.
So. Sure it is.
Yeah.
So. Okay, John. Well, thanks for the chat this morning, and we'll be hearing more from you in the up and coming weeks about that track team. So,
well, that's
and
nice.
You do double duty there with boys and girls.
Yeah, I do double, but it's nice that I've got enough coaches that still. It's just I kind of take being, I take the paperwork away while the other ones can still coach. That's the good thing looking at.
You're pretty making mild there. That's John Sherb on JV girls basketball. We'll take this break, and we got a treat for you. We got the freshman boys basketball coach in the studio, and we'll be talking with John Redepenning after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, frozen Corbett hams are half off and blackjack brats 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com. For all your auto glass needs, including auto, semi-truck, glass repair and replacement, and tractor and combine cabs, check with Sean Duth at Dawson Auto Glass. Call 320-226-1900. He does all rock chip repairs, works with all insurance companies, and offers same-day service and will come right to your house. That's Dawson Auto Glass, owned and operated by Sean Duth in Dawson. Call 320-226-1900 or Dawson Auto Glass at MediacomBB.com. Net. That's Dawson Auto Glass, located in Dawson, Minnesota, owned and operated by Sean Duth.
Let's take a look at some things happening around the area this weekend. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the Garms family will be performing at Antelope Hills Christian Church, located at 2220 190th Street, Canby. This is a free will donation event. Everyone is welcome. On Saturday today, fundraiser at the VFW in Madison will be going on for Briggs Sieverty, Matt and Jessica. Briggs has a rare terminal brain disease and is in need of a service dog. Serving will be from 5 until 7 o'clock this evening. It's a spaghetti supper by free will donation. There'll be a silent auction going on, bingo, and some other fun things. So come on over. If you can't make it to that event tonight at the VFW in Madison, donations may be mailed or dropped off at Briggs Dog, care of St. Michael's Church, 412 West 3rd Street, Madison 56256. On Sunday, there will be a pancake and French toast breakfast at the Appleton VFW from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. $4 for kids 4 to 12. Kids under 4 eat free. This event is sponsored by the Swift County Fair. Sunday, there will be a sauerkraut fest at St. Joseph's Church in Rosen from 11 to 1. Cost is $10 for adults, $5 for kids aged 6 to 18. Free for kids under the age of 6. That event is sponsored by the St. Joseph Knights of Columbus. Pioneer PBS invites you to celebrate Season 37 of Prairie Yard and Garden with a free screening event going on this weekend. That'll be at the West Central Area Secondary School in Barrett on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. RSVP by visiting pioneer.org/events or call 1-800-726-3178.
The retail part of Gnometown Grounds is open for business. Displays are ready for spring. However, the kitchen is still under construction and will be opening soon. Come check out what's new at Gnometown Grounds. They're closed Monday, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., closed Saturday and Sunday. Come check out what Emma has in the retail part of Gnometown Grounds. They are located Main Street, Dawson. Check out Gnometown Grounds' Facebook page.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. As mentioned during before the break, that we're going to be talking freshman boys basketball with John Redepenning. So, welcome aboard, there, John.
Well, thank you guys for having me, and yeah, it's fun coaching. You know, I've been doing it since my kids were little, but this will be my second year coaching. Last year, I started right after Christmas, so. Yeah, I get to coach the freshman kids, and it's quite a exciting age to coach. You know, you got quite the range of abilities and players, but they're a very good group of kids, and they're excited to be there and want to learn. So I'll start to go through them.
Sure.
All right. So I got a guard, Grant Bierke. He's pretty much, you know, a do-it-all player. He drives. Plays defense. He had an unfortunate incident. Our last practice, right before our Christmas break, he broke his foot.
Oh, gosh.
In practice?
In practice. About halfway through practice, he broke it. And, yeah, he was out 6 weeks fully, and then he got to come back and couldn't play for 2 more weeks, so he only got to play about the last, you know, first 4 games and then the last about 5-6 games. So he pretty much lost the season, unfortunately. It was hard to see, but he bounced back well. Then we got a forward post player, Brock Wall. This is actually his first year out for basketball, so it was fun to see the growth that he made beginning of the year, pretty much not knowing a whole lot. I mean, he played a lot of street ball, but by the end of the year, he was a very valuable player, a lot of rebounding, scoring. So that was fun to see. Another guard that we had is Jason Ionis. He has a weird-looking shot, but it goes in, you know. If I needed a three-pointer, he'd probably be my go-to guy. But he's not a ball handler per se, but yeah, he's a spot-up shooter. If you get him the ball with some space, he can knock it down every time. And then we go to another post. I had Abraham Jickle. He is probably the second best shooter on our team as a post player, but he's just a solid kid. You know, he's got a big body like me. Trying to teach some of these younger kids how to use their inside body. The post game is kind of like doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. Everybody wants to shoot from the outside nowadays, but not everybody can. But Abraham definitely can do that. He's got a good shot, and just try to get some of these kids to use their body a little more. Then we go to another guard I had, Thomas Emmes. You know, a very good player, does it all. He drives. He played a lot of B squad as well. I think he played about 3, 4, 5 games on B squad fully, so I didn't get to have him. But when he was there, he was probably our most consistent player, especially with Grant being out. He probably led our team in scoring. He probably averaged 10 to 14 points a game. Very good kid, fun to be around. He's probably the jokester on the team, always had something to say, and yeah, most of them were at my expense, of course. Then we'll move on to Samerson Sepinon. He was probably my best defensive player. If I wanted to shut someone down on the other team, I kind of put him out there. He was all hustle all the time. He didn't always look to shoot or anything, but he was our heart guy out there. He always needed one of them on every team, and Mr. Hustle was him. Then we had one John Romanis. He was another kid that he's a bigger kid. Tried to put him as the post. Most posts are considerably bigger than him, but we were very short on size this year, so probably to his detriment, I had to play him as a post instead of a wing where it'd probably be better for him. But he took the challenge, and every day in practice, he showed up, did his thing, and got better every day. And then we had one 10th grader play for the majority of the season with us, Ian Nukafit. He played on the B squad as well full-time, but I had him for a lot of the season, and he, I don't know, I always called him Mighty Mouse. I mean, he's a shorter guy. He's very stocky, and holy cows, could that kid move. I mean, he was quick as lightning, and I'd put him on full court defense and, I mean, just let him wear the other guy down. He had a lot of steals by the end of the game. But, yeah, that. So I only ended the year with 6 players.
Okay. And going through that lineup, I think a couple of them are in that quartet that sings the national anthem.
Yes, yes, I got 3 of them, Jason okay. Ionis, Samerson Sepinon, and one John Romanis. They wow. do a very good job.
wrestling, right?
Yeah, and well, it all started at a varsity boys basketball game. So, yeah, they're statewide known now.
Yes, they definitely serenaded us in the locker room after victories as well. That was they're very talented kids. And, you know, there's another one, too, you know, that they all sing with. You know, once one gets going, they get a few of them other going. And, yeah, they're very talented, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Yeah.
One time I was leaving the gym, and they were in the – a lobby area, the commons area there, and the harmonizing was amazing to listen to. I stopped. I didn't even go out the door. I wanted to listen to more.
Well, this was your first time here in the studio and that for the culture show, and I'm not sure if you were talking to Paul at the time, but I mentioned to John Sherb, you always want to remember the very first day of practice and then when the last game was over. If you've seen improvement in that team, you know they've done their job as well as you've done your job, and I think you certainly can.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so our first game of the season, we lost by like 3 or 4 points, and, you know, that was 100% my fault. I just, you know, it's like you get a new group of kids that you haven't seen before. It's not like B-Squad or Varsity where you've kind of seen them play and you kind of know what you're getting. You know, I get a fresh group every year, and I didn't know what to expect of them, and we only had, you know, probably a handful, 8-9 practices before our first game. And, I didn't use them the best way. I think we started 0-5. So to finish like 9-11 or 10-11, we were definitely playing our best basketball at the end of the year. So
good, peaking at the right time.
Absolutely, it's fun once they get on a groove and to see what they can accomplish. Because I think we had a 4 or 5 game win streak in there, and it's fun once they all start playing to their potential. You know, and you see what they can do, and you just try to bring it out of them as a coach, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And
any highlights there, John, on the season for you? Any wins that stick out in your mind?
Well, I guess the two wins that stick out the most, like Benson, and they didn't have a C squad for the whole season, so they kind of threw a group of kids together. But I think we won by like 38 points. It was a good win. A lot of players got a lot of playing time, you know. Only having 6 players, a lot of them do get a lot of playing time anyway. It's nice on those games when they're kind of get out of hand to where you can give some of the kids that don't get in a lot extra time, you know, because they show up every day in practice and bust their butt. So it's nice to, you know, allow them to do that. And then the other one was we traveled to St. Cloud Cathedral this year. And then that Thomas Emmis only played B squad that day, and I had another Samerson was out for a funeral, so I only had 4 ninth graders and then Ian from 10th grade, and then I had 5 eighth graders. That was their first game at the end of the eighth grade season. I got 5 of the eighth graders. They all practiced with me, but we took 5 on the road, and at halftime we were winning 22-1 on that game. So that was a very good performance on our part. And we ended up winning by like 14-15. But that was another fun game to coach.
Good.
Then every year, like you mentioned, you'll get a new group of kids, and hopefully the same results where they will keep improving. What's your philosophy about going off for a spring sport and a fall sport and going at least a 2, maybe a 3 sport athlete in a small school?
Well, I would be all for it, I guess. You know, I'd try to play all sports myself. You know, I know some kids would prefer to go to the weight room. I have a son that's way. He'd prefer to go to the weight room instead of go out for baseball. But I encourage them all to go out for every sport you can. You know, the more training you get, it's all different training. I think it's all going to help you in the long run.
And just the competitiveness. So
absolutely. That way you don't lose your edge.
The thing you want to try to instill in them, you don't want to get to be our age and wish you had. You get the opportunity right now.
But absolutely. But, you know, you always have that drive no matter what your age. If you're a competitor, I mean, it's always there.
Yep.
You don't want to lose a pickup game at the gym, you know, even half the days. Oh, let's play 1-on-1, I'll kick your butt. Well, you know, it's just there.
Do they
always
kick your butt then?
Yep. Well, you know, I played a few of them, and I get gassed really easily, so we don't play very long games, I guess.
I know the swimming pool park has a nice basketball court, and the lights are on at night, and you can hear that ball bouncing a lot.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, my son's been up there numerous times, and I'll be out for, you know, golf cart cruise at night and swing up there. And, there's always kids I know or have coached or something, you know. So,
yeah, it's always good to see, you know, you were out for basketball, graduated of La Caparo Valley, and now back into the La Caparo Valley coaching. I like to see that.
Yeah.
I know my son Brandon is a C squad coach in Montevideo. I know you and Brandon talked when you played each other, and that's good to see. Former La Caparo graduates coaching, huh, John?
Yeah. I hadn't seen him. I mean, my parents live right across from Paul, so, I mean, I've ran into him, seen him a couple times, you know, at Thanksgivings and Christmases and whatnot, but I haven't talked to him in probably 20 years, I'd say. So, it was nice to catch up with him.
Yeah. And you mentioned before we went on, too, that not all the teams that you've played have a C-squad, so it gives you more practice time, but I'm sure they would also like to have games. But
there's
can't do that anything about that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like Ortonville had a C squad for a little while, but the 2 times we were going to play them, they did not those days. And you know, Benson, I know, threw one together for us. Lakeview threw a team together. You know, it's nice when the kids can get out there and compete, so they're not just, you know,
Yeah.
It's kind of like a payoff almost, you know. It's like that you wait for that paycheck on Friday or something, you know. That's the kids' paycheck, is getting to play in that game and show what they can do and get out there and have some fun against different competition rather than the same players in practice every day.
Yep. Well, if nothing else, you've helped them enjoy the sport, and I know the sport is one of your first loves, and you've passed that on to them, and hopefully they'll stay with the program. So
absolutely. They're a bunch of good kids, and I wish the best for them.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. We'll try to get you in next year as well and talk about your team. Tell me a coach that's not proud of his team.
Yeah, I don't think there is one. No matter how your season goes, as long as they get better, you know, each and every day, and from the beginning of the season to the end, it's a success.
Well put. So that's John Redepening on freshman boys basketball. We'll take this break and be talking JV boys basketball with
Joel Voorhees
after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, March 15th through Monday, March 18th in Theater Number 1. It's Ordinary Angels, rated PG-13. That's Ordinary Angels in Theater 1. Held over in Theater 2, Kung Fu Panda 4. That's Kung Fu Panda 4, rated PG in Theater Number 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Elite Seamless LLC is ready to go to work on that roofing project you need done. They guarantee your project will be completed in 30 days or less. They can also take care of your siding, window, and gutter projects. Call Elite Seamless at 320-438-0052 for an estimate today. That's 320-438-0052. 320-438-0052. Don't put off those projects any longer. Pick up the phone today, and Elite Seamless will go to work.
Great things are happening at the Dawson Boyd School with the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks Robotics Team. Here at Hughes Real Estate and Auction Service, we are so proud of the robotics team, and we wish them well in their upcoming endeavors and competitions. Way to go, Blackjacks!
Hey, Sadie, do you know what's happening on Tuesday, March 19th?
No, what, Peyton? Tell me.
It's the Hawaiian Beach Party.
Hawaiian Beach Party? What's that?
It's a fun family event at Lakaparo Valley High School on Tuesday, March 19th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be booths for local organizations, crafts, games, kids' activities, and Kevin the Balloon Guy will be coming back this year. And that's not all. The pool will be open again, so bring your swimsuit and towel.
Sounds like so much fun. How much does it cost to get in?
It's totally free, but we ask that you bring a canned food item to donate to our local food shelf.
What else will be there?
Well, you better bring your appetite, too. There will be loaded nachos, chips and cheese, hot dogs, cotton candy from Fraser's Fairy Floss Sisters, cherry berry cookie dough, popcorn, water and pop will all be available for purchase.
Sounds like a blast. I can't wait.
We hope you can join us for the Hawaiian Beach Party on Tuesday, March 19th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Lakaparo Valley High School. This event is sponsored by Strengthening the Family.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lakaparo Valley boys basketball, JV boys basketball, with Coach Joel Voorhees. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How many years have you been coaching?
Oh, man. Is this my 11th?
11th year already.
Yep.
All with the boys program?
All with the boys.
Okay.
Yep, I did some elementary stuff.
Good.
In between.
B squad coach, right, this year?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, why don't you tell us about how'd your season go and maybe talk about some of the guys, Joel.
Sure. Yeah, we had a good season. I know our record didn't really reflect the effort that we put in practice and the flashes of showing that we are all gelling as a team. Like, there was good games that we were in, but in the end we just didn't have enough.
Right.
But we finished with a 8-16 record, and we had a big list of guys that played with us. We had some help from some juniors that were playing a lot of varsity minutes that, you know, they could take advantage of playing that three halves, and they played with us for about a little less than half the season. So I had Carson Bessenen and Tygan Allpress, Baxter Koloff, Brock Bjornheld, and Carson Young for a couple games before he got hurt.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, they helped us out. And then the rest of the season, it was time for us to put it all together. And to be honest, Paul, it was a growth period.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of drilling the stuff in at practice and learning the speed of the game and learning counter moves and what defense your opponent it is. And, yeah, it was something that I thought we were starting to get as the season progressed.
Okay. Kind of going back to the basics then, huh?
Yep. Okay. A lot. Yep.
Good.
Trying to perfect those.
All right. Let's talk about each of the players. We got some time here, Joel, so give
sure.
some time to some of the players and talk about
yep.
their improvements and how they did this year.
So the remaining part of my roster, these are all sophomores, and then I had a junior in there, Isaac Hansen, and a couple ninth graders jumped up at the end of the year to give see the pace of the B squad game and see if they could contribute. So I had Nolan Smith, Ian Nukafit, Jaden Redepenning, Tanner Callis, Elias Elonzo, Grant Bierke, Thomas Emmis, and Abraham Chico.
Now those are what grade again?
This is a combination of some juniors, mostly sophomores, and a couple freshmen.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start out with Nolan. Nolan
sure, yeah.
Smith,
Nolan
he got some playing time.
Sure, yeah, Nolan was a solid point guard. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, he was a solid point guard, and I showed him some things that he needed to work on for next year, and very, very smart kid. He's really intelligent on the court, listening to what I have to tell him, and I could see the progression with him towards the end. And even when we were training for the subsection game, his shot was just down to a science. He was getting the muscle memory right. So he did an awesome job leading us off and scoring as well with, let's see here, he had about 9 points a game.
Hmm.
And then another one of my starters, Tanner Callis, he was my disruptive guy. He got up and played some defense and really hounded the opponent. So he had a lot of steals for me. And seeing his average, he had 35 steals on the year. That was about a steal and a half. Okay, and then I had some two big centers, Jaden Redepenning and Elias Elonzo, 6'5", 6'6", apiece, and they had a lot of blocks on the year. We had Jaden with 34 blocks and Elias with 26 blocks. So they had some size to deal with driving in on those guys.
Okay.
And then my other starter would have been Ian Nukafit, or depended on the night. We didn't try to stay with the same starting five. Orlando Avila, he jumped in there some, and so did Caden Stender. Those two boys really can shoot the ball. They need to work on trying to create as well, though.
Right.
So that's what their job was on the team, was to shoot that ball. And I had faith in them.
Yeah, I watched a couple of the games, and Stender kid and the other one you mentioned, too, they shot well in the games I watched.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was good to see.
Good. Okay. Others? Or?
That is my roster.
That's your roster, okay.
Yep, and I kind of gave you some of the top points and steals. Those juniors that I mentioned earlier, Carson, Tygan, Baxter, Brock, they really helped us out and helping us see it as a team sport.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any highlights for the year for you? Anything stick out? Big wins or buzzer beaters or anything like that stick out in your mind, Joel, on the season?
I think put
you on the spot there.
I know, but I'm thinking the first game of the year when we played Border West, we pulled it off, and I saw the excitement in the guys and ready to roll for the rest of the season. So that really kind of sticks out in my mind.
Okay.
The St. Cloud Cathedral game, that was when probably their best game together, those sophomores.
Okay. And you come up with a win there against the Cathedral?
Not.
Oh, okay.
No, all right. But it was opportunities.
Right. Right. Good. Well, good. Anything else? You have managers or anybody help you, a coach, or just you?
Well, Cale Benson did my book every night, so I'm very appreciative of having him around. All the other coaches, Robin and John, it was good to see their points of view on stuff.
Right. So what do you tell the boys at the end of the season, what to work on during the summer or what they need to do during the summer? It's kind of a year-round sport, isn't it?
It is. When you think about it, I know they still are balancing spring sports and getting ready for the fall sports next year, but I tell them you got to find time to work on this. And after the season, we had a little exit interview with each one of them and told them what their strengths and then also gave them some weaknesses that you could possibly improve all this for next year.
That's the key, you know. Play with the basketball all season long.
Yep, and seeing if you can bump up to that next level.
A movie, the Pistol Pete movie, the Pistol it's called. He went everywhere with the basketball, riding his bike, he was dribbling it. While riding his bike, he slept with his basketball.
Dribbled upstairs, dribbled all around the top of the arena. Yep, I've seen that movie.
It's a great movie, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Anything else you want to add to your season there, Joel? Or did we cover everything?
Well, in a nutshell, we gave you what we had, but I just want to thank the guys for the season, sticking it out, all the practices. We had some lows in there, but the attitudes were seeing where the next level is, seeing the future. So I'm glad that they stuck it out, and they're going to continue to get better as basketball players.
Good. Well, no rest for you, Joel, right from the winter season. You're on the track coaching staff, too, aren't you?
Yep, we just had practice. First week of practice, so we're easing ourselves into this.
So what specialty are you with the coaching staff with Sherb?
I work a lot with the jumpers.
Jumpers, okay.
High jump and long jump and triple jump.
Both boys and girls?
Yep.
Okay.
Along with Ron Kester, he's the mastermind. He has that down to an exact science on everything.
Right.
So it's fun to see him.
Yeah. I know Boyk went to state last year, didn't he?
Yep.
Okay.
Second in the long jump. Broke the school record.
Okay.
Well, and he made it in high, too. So he'll be back there maybe in a third event, maybe fourth. I don't know. The sky is the limit with that kid.
Yep, for sure. Quite an athlete. All right, Joel, well, thanks for the report on the Lacapra Valley JV boys basketball team. I appreciate that every year, and look forward to hearing from you next year then.
Yes, and thanks for having me, Paul.
You bet. Joel Voorhees, the Lacapra Valley's JV coach on the boys team. We'll take a commercial break, come back with more of the Coaches Show right after this.
Shadowland Farms Trucking of Appleton offers custom trucking, lime application, and excavation. Call Brad Mitchell for more information at 320-297-0142. And Shadowland Farm Trucking is a proud sponsor of all Lacapra Valley sports and activities. Building trust is what we do, so you can trust Schibble Mutual Insurance to support you with a wide range of products and local service. As a proud Grinnell Mutual Member Insurance Company, we're here to protect all that's important to you, including your future. With Grinnell Mutual, you can trust in tomorrow. Contact your local Schibble Mutual Insurance agent today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. Farmers, this is your ticket to a bumper harvest. From golden corn rows to lush bean vines, we've got your fields covered. Haas Seeds offers Agra Gold and Golden Harvest seed products for all your seed needs. Contact Seth Haas at 320-444-1601 or Steve at 320-444-0439 today. That's Haas Seeds, Seth and Steve Haas, Madison.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. I guess we're pretty much done with this edition of the Lacaparra Valley Culture Show. I want to remind people that two new spring sports will start on Monday, actually three. Boys and girls golf will be starting on Monday along with baseball for the varsity. So we're going to try to wrap up things next week and then start in introducing the various spring activities with their roster. Going to have a treat next week. Paul Remo will got a hold of Carrie Tollefson and wanted to put her on, but she's in New York and busy, and we'll have a tape recording of Paul and Carrie next week on the show, and then possibly some more. We're introducing some spring coaches, and also I have a friend from college back in the 60s, late 60s, or mid to late 60s and 70s that I may interview and have that on too. It's nice to have some new things on, like John Rattapenning today did a great job talking about the sport that he coaches, and he loves to do it, so that's great to know. So we're finish out the story or the show with some well-known or maybe not real well-known facts. Looking across the street here, I see the dental office. So dentists have recommended that a toothbrush be kept at least 6 feet away from the toilet to avoid airborne particles resulting from the flush. I keep my toothbrush in the living room now. And turtles can breathe through their butts. I know some people like that, don't you? And then finally, remember, knowledge is everything, so pass it on. And go move your toothbrush and stop folding that paper. All right, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.